This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It is brought to you by Heineken. Jason joins us, guys. Remember, Heineken, great taste, zero alcohol. It is Dukes and Bell. And Jason, I want to jump right in and get your take. We'll talk plenty about the match and some of the performances or lack thereof. But what happened at the end of this match and stoppage time with Tito? How did it start? Who was it with? And what was this all about?
Oh, man, so much to talk about from this one. First off, if you don't have your tickets set up for the rematch in July at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, you probably want to get those because there might be a steel cage around the field. It's that kind of rivalry now. It's good in that sense. But what happened, from what we could tell, it was a very hard challenge at the end of the game with Kamar Lawrence and Tito Villalba, and it sounds like there had been a lot of talking between the two of them throughout the game. Kamar Lawrence was outstanding yesterday. He's one of the best left backs in the league. He showed it. He owned his side of the field, and he had a lot of things to say before the game, and he had a lot of things to say after the game. And Tito Villalba said that he had a lot of things to say to him during the game that were very disrespectful. So a lot of jawing. I thought it went beyond, you know, the, like, yeah, let's act like we're upset with one another, but really nobody's going to do anything. I thought it was a step beyond that. I mean, there was a lot of heat to all of those confrontations, and they continued for quite a while afterwards.
Yeah, there's a lot of jawing. They're bigger than us. I mean, a lot of teams in this league are bigger than us physically, Jason, and they're kind of manhandling us. And I, you know, I saw the contact going on, and look, I thought Pitty got mugged. I also thought Pitty kind of had a sloppy performance. How would you rate Martinez's day?
Yeah, Pitty really struggled, and it's one of those games where, is it the travel that he's not used to? Is it the amount of minutes he's played lately? He didn't have that spark that you really needed in this one, because after the red card, when New York got that red card, I thought they were starting to struggle as the first half went on, because they came out with a ton of energy. They were pressing. Atlanta made a really smart tactical decision early on to say, we're going to go back to what worked in the postseason in a lot of ways. We're going to play over the press. We're going to play direct, and we're going to make the Red Bulls do something with the ball at their feet. Giveaways everywhere. And New York started dropping deeper. They started really struggling. Atlanta had multiple chances. Then the red card. That simplified the game defensively for New York, because then you can't press. Mm-hmm. Then you have to sit back, and you had two lines of four. This was a game where you really needed Pitty to find the space in between the lines and in between the channels, and he struggled. He was getting manhandled, but he got frustrated about it as well and just was not a factor when you needed him to be.
We are talking with Jason Longshore, guys, about Atlanta United. We lose 1-0 to the Red Bulls. It's a match in where, you know, the frustration level for at least – and United fans was, hey, they're down a man. We can't find a way to get it done. Where do you think we lacked opportunities when we had this opportunity of 55 minutes of the match where it looked like maybe we could go up to, you know, score two goals, and yet we couldn't?
Yeah, you couldn't break down a team that sat back deeper, and they didn't sit back all the way. Once they got the goal, they did. They dropped deeper. But you got to remember, this is a really good defensive team in the New York Red Bulls, and I think there's a little bit of a fallacy about, oh, you have a man advantage, so it should be easy.
Right.
Go ask LAFC, who is the best attacking team in the league, why they couldn't score multiple goals on 10-man Seattle when they had a man advantage for 80 minutes, or last night when they had a man advantage for 40 in Dallas and they couldn't add another goal. It's not that easy all the time. And the Red Bulls actually have a really good record when they get these red cards, because they're strong defensively and they're able to just keep things simple. I thought Chris Armas, we wondered at halftime what Chris Armas would do tactically with losing the man. Would they go to more of a 3-3-3 or a 3-4-2? He opted for a 4-4-1. So it was two banks of four, very tight, very compact, and that closed out all of the space for Atlanta. They had space out wide. They couldn't put in good crosses. They couldn't make anything of it. and they just weren't creating enough opportunities last night.
Jason Longshore with us, guys. Brought to you by Heineken. Heineken 0.00.0, great taste, zero alcohol. Armas kind of got beat up by the national soccer media for the way they thought he might have mishandled our matches with them in the playoffs last year.
Yeah, and I thought he did. And some of that was down to losing Kamar Lawrence, to be perfectly honest. Kamar Lawrence was injured going into the postseason, and I think maybe Armas overthought it and didn't think he could press the same way without Lawrence. And the first leg here at Mercedes-Benz, he got the tactics wrong, and he got them right in this case. And I thought he won the day with that move. And also, then the flip side, and people have talked about substitutions for Atlanta, you got to remember where, yes, you had a man advantage, but you also came back from Vancouver, and you had played on short rest and short rest and short rest. This was the fourth game where you played an opponent with more rest. And the Red Bulls were off from last Saturday until this game on Sunday. Atlanta played twice in that time frame. It catches up to you. There's only been one team that has won five games in 14 days, which is what Atlanta was going for yesterday. Mm-hmm. One team in Major League Soccer history. Not easy to do.
It is Jason Longshore, guys. So we drop a result, even though, you know, we were taking on a shorthanded team. Now we turn our attention to Real Salt Lake on Friday. What is the expectation there?
Frank DeBoer talked about it. He's given the guys a couple days off. I think the just tired legs have caught up to him a bit. So you're going to train on Wednesday and then head out to Salt Lake City. Salt Lake City, Real Salt Lake is a very inconsistent team. They have a lot of really good young players, but their results are all over the place week to week. Albert Rusnak is the player that I fear the most. He plays kind of as a second forward or a number 10 for them. Very skilled, one of the under-the-radar stars in this league. And they have a lot of attacking young talent that can cause you problems. Atlanta has to be sharp because Salt Lake's coming off of a big win over Toronto 3-0 last weekend.
It is our man Jason Longshore, guys. Disappointing losses, we said, but an amazing run leading up to that. We really had gotten almost looking if we're going to get max points, Jason. We've jumped up in the standings, so after looking dead in the water in the month after March was over, we're just 4 points behind Philadelphia and D.C. United. So you feel we finally kind of found an equilibrium. We also made the move picking up Justin Miram. Can that be a guy that might be an X factor for us in the next third of the season?
Yeah, I think so. I think that was a really good addition when he became available from Columbus. And look, the team's turned the corner. I think the reaction to this loss was a little surprising, and that's what's fun about this game sometimes, is if you had said at the beginning of this run of six games that they would have went 5-1 with it, nobody would have said no.
Right.
Nobody would have said no to that. Everybody would have taken it in a heartbeat. But because of the way it happened, you have a little bit different feeling about it, and then that adds a little more pressure to this Salt Lake game on Friday as well.
Jason, as you look at the things that have worked well for us and why we have played well in meshing, what's been the number one thing? I asked this question to some, you know, United fans. We were talking over the weekend, and they were trying to get me to say, hey, what's the one thing? What is it that you think has allowed us to be as successful over these last four matches leading into this one over the weekend?
I think the organization has, because they've won games in that run before Sunday in different ways. They would dominate possession one game. They'd have 45% of possession the next time, still creating a good number of chances, even though the finishing hasn't quite been where you'd want it to be. Mm-hmm. But it's been the variety of ways. And you do that because you're organized. And that's why the goal that you gave up yesterday does hurt more, because it was a lack of organization. And it was the transition for the Red Bulls, which is something that they excel at, going from defense to offense. Atlanta going from offense to defense was a little slow, and there were multiple players caught out and just kind of caught out of sync in that moment, and Red Bulls punish you for it. The organization has been so good up to that. That's why that one surprised me a little bit, the way they conceded yesterday.
Right. Look, as you said, it's a lot of matches in a short period of time, and like, you know, we're not going to win every match. I'm just happy that we're in the playoffs right now. I am excited to, you know, come back from vacay. We're still kicking butt. It's just, as Carl said, style makes the fight. They're attacking, so we thought we could get the counter stuff working early. We kind of withstood. They even hit the crossbar early, right? I thought, okay, we're gonna have a real, it'll be a shooting match here. And then when it degenerates to, you know, basically being able to park the bus, you're right. Sometimes a man down is not what you want to see in a match.
Yeah, it was really tough in this one because it becomes a little bit of a trap. because Atlanta comes in it's a trap. They come in knowing they can't run with the Red Bulls yesterday. They didn't have the legs to do it. So once they made their change to go a little more direct and they started to grab control of the game, everything's good. When that red card happens, then all the expectations change. For the Red Bulls, they get a point, they're happy. If Atlanta doesn't get a win, people are going to have questions. So you have to go for it a little bit more and expose yourself to that counter, and you don't have the legs to deal with it or the mental focus to deal with it because, yes, you're tired.
I want to be clear. You said it when you came on the show today. We don't like the Red Bulls, and they are our rival. And July 9th, it is on in this rematch on various levels, and especially after the situation with Tito. I just thought it was disrespectful, man. I did. You know, soccer, flopping and falling and tackling is one thing. To yell over the top of a guy who I think your intention was to probably try to injure him right. is just completely, you know, there's no room for error there. You can't explain that to me. So my level of intensity as a fan just went up, Jason.
Yeah, there's been so much talk about rivalry. And if you're a Liverpool fan, for example, you'll understand where I'm going with this. Liverpool has a local rivalry with Everton, right. but they have a blood feud with Manchester United. What Atlanta has with Orlando feels a little more like a local rivalry right now, mm-hmm. whereas Atlanta and the Red Bulls is starting to feel like a blood feud because right. every game has an incident. Every game has a little extra spice. And now you've got another one coming up this year where Atlanta, yes, knocked them out of the playoffs last year. And when you can taunt somebody with holding up a trophy, that's a pretty good spot to be in.
Oh, yeah.
But the Red Bulls have had Atlanta's number in the regular season.
Right. That's why we were so blown away. We were able to get it done the way we were in that first leg and then grind it out. You know, we had the great rally and everyone watching the viewing party last year at Atlantic Station. Their fans are nuts. You know, they're blabbing about the supporter shield. Like, we got the trophy. I was sitting one guy up on Twitter yesterday. I'm like, see the little star on top of the logo? We've got one of those.
You don't get those for supporter shields. And I think the supporter shield is a great accomplishment. And it's something that Atlanta United obviously wants to win as well. But in this league with playoffs, MLS Cup is what defines the champion. And Atlanta United is that champion right now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.